Welcome into Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton.
And I'm Dr. Zach Clinton, and together we are your co-hosts. On behalf of us both, thank you so much for listening.
Hey, if you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help AACC equip the church and provide Christian mental health care to those in need, visit our foundation at aaccfoundation.org. That's aaccfoundation.org to donate. We'd love for you to become a part of our family. We're on a mission to help strengthen your mental health and relationships with God and those you love the most. Help us as we work to strengthen, again, families and bring a message of help, hope, and encouragement to today's generations.
Your gift ensures this program and your station remain on the air. And on today's show, my dad, Dr. Tim Clinton, will be joined by a great guest. So let's go ahead and get started.
Welcome back. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton. And today I'm going to be sharing a conversation I had a few years back at an Extraordinary Women Conference in Tulsa, Oklahoma, which was hosted by my wife, Julie. Joining me in the guest chair today was one of our powerful speakers from that event, Lisa Bevere. Lisa's a best-selling author and speaker. She spent about 40 years in ministering to women, guiding them and encouraging them to discover their true identity and purpose and strength in Christ. Some of her books include Without Rival, Girls with Swords, and her latest release, The Fight for Female. Along with her husband, John Bevere, Lisa is the co-founder of Messenger International, a ministry that strives to make disciples of all nations through bold, clear biblical messages. Since its inception in 1990, Messenger International has translated and distributed books, study guides, and courses in over 100 languages. Let me say that again, over 100 languages. That was done before AI, by the way. Well, their app, Messenger X, is now used in nearly every country around the world. Lisa's passionate about spreading the gospel and equipping Christians to live their lives, the lives that God has called them to. I'm excited to share this conversation. It's relevant today as it was when we first sat down together. So let's go now to my interview with the always positive and always dynamic Lisa Bevere. Lisa, we're together here on the campus of Oral Roberts University. We're at the Mabee Center for the Extraordinary Women Conference. We've got over 5,000 women out there, and it's wild. Lisa, God has given you quite an extensive ministry. You're speaking all over the country, around the world, really. But Lisa, you look into the eyes of women every day. What are you seeing? What has your heart?
You know, Tim, I'm seeing incredible hunger right now. Oh. I think I saw fear in a lot of years before, but I'm seeing a hunger right now. I think people are like, I want to know God. I want to know scripture like I know my kid's voice. I want to actually experience the word of God. I want to experience the love of God. And there's a desperate hunger for truth. You know, I'm watching what's happening with Jesus Revolution movie, people clapping, cheering.
Well, there's a stirring, isn't getting, there?
Oh, it's amazing. It's amazing. I got to be in a prayer meeting, Tim, the night before Jesus Revolution released, and we were all in Nashville, and this man comes in. He's got a beard and a baseball cap, and he said, I think I've kicked over a hornet's nest. And I said, who is this man? Like, he's the producer of Jesus Revolution. He said, there's been an attack on every single level. And I'm like, oh, the enemy realizes his time is short. God is pouring out his spirit in movie theaters, college campuses, and he's most willingly doing it with his daughters. I feel like women are finding their purpose in the presence of God and finding out who they are according to his identity of them, calling them daughter.
Lisa, I have chills. I mean, last night we were in here and Jennifer Rothschild spoke, and I'll tell you, it was an amazing message. She talked about her brokenness, her journey, and how God had been in that story.
Yes.
Brandon Lake did a concert, and I'm telling you, this place was upside down.
Yeah.
I mean, they were on their feet the whole time. Did not sit down, and they were worshiping the Lord. Yeah. And this morning, I mean, this place is captivating to me. Mm-hmm. You're going to hit the stage in just a little bit. Mm-hmm. I know God's put something on your heart. What are you going to share with these women?
So when I was getting ready, seeing what's happened with Asbury, seeing what's happened with Jesus Revolution, even seeing what's happened with John's book. John wrote a book called The Awe of God.
I saw that coming out.
It's number 9 on the Wall Street Journal list. People, they don't buy books called The Awe of God, How a Healthy, Holy Fear Will Transform Your Life. That's not what's happening. So I asked God, I'm like, do I get to drive up to Asbury? What do I get to do? And he said, you need to talk to my people about breaking up their fallow ground. Because when God begins to pour out His Spirit, when God begins to pour a refreshing of love and presence on His people, we want to have hearts that are tender. Because if we don't, that rain will run off or there'll be erosion. I believe that God is doing a new thing and it doesn't look like the old thing. And I feel like you and I are alive and possibly the most exciting times, the clarity of what's going on. If you read scripture, you're like, oh, wow, we're living in Romans 1. I mean, evil is called good. Good is called evil. Right is wrong. I mean, everything is turned on its head. But we cannot actually right that or correct those wrongs through an election. We correct those wrongs by the elect returning. And when God's people return to Him, then He heals our land. And I feel like the healing has started. I feel like there's hope again in people's hearts. I have such a sense that God is pouring out love and truth on His people.
And they go together. Yeah.
I mean, they have to.
Yeah, they
do. You can't have truth without love or love without truth.
You bet. You think everybody's, oh, I just want to love people. No, no, no. I speak the truth in love. Speaking truth is loving.
Yeah.
You know that? And we're to do it in a loving manner.
Yes.
Lisa, let's go back and I want to introduce our listeners a little bit more to you and your upbringing and more. But Lisa, you and John, your husband John, powerful in his own way. You guys have such an amazing ministry. But you guys had four boys.
Yes.
You raised four boys. You got some grandkids. I mean, you had a lot of testosterone around your home, not estrogen, testosterone.
Yes, yes. It was on my furniture. It was everywhere. I started growing chin hairs. I was like, it was crazy. And now I have six grandkids, three grandsons, and hallelujah, three granddaughters. So we now have balanced female with male in our household. But yeah, John is the one who led me to the Lord through Campus Crusade when I was 21 years of age. Wow. I had never heard the gospel before. When I heard a gospel of something we keep coming back to, love, that a God who loved me would send somebody to me to tell me about His love for me. When I heard that, I said, I don't know what I have to do, but I want to receive this love. I also remember, Jim, you and I are probably the same age. We used to hear that God had a plan for our life. And I was like, thank God, because I have no idea what's going on. So when I heard that God had a plan, I'm like, I'm glad somebody knows what is happening. And so I surrendered my life and I said, I'm giving my all to the one who gave His life for me. And that was the beginning of a wild adventure of over four decades of marriage, and my kids are better people than John and I, and my grandkids, of course, are even better. It's exciting.
You and John have an organization called Messenger International.
That's true.
Tell us a little bit about how it came together. What's the heart of it?
Yeah, so, you know, we are commissioned to go into all the world and make disciples. And so John just had this passion. He said, Lisa, we have so much resource in the United States, and there are people in other countries that have nothing. He said, so I want to make it so that we can give away our resources for free. So up to date, we've given away 53 million individual discipleship resources in 123 languages. We have an app called Messenger X. It's totally free. And we've had over 1 million downloads, over 9,000 five-star reviews. The only app that's close to us in languages is YouTube, and it is 40 languages behind us. So it's like amazing, Tim. People don't inhabit lands, they inhabit languages. You can have somebody in the United States, but they're gonna live around the people that have commonality of culture and language. And so we just found that being able to share gospel resource, discipleship resources in their language was one of the most powerful things we could do. And of course, that also has Bibles on it.
You bet. Lisa, I love that. I mean, that is the calling of God in our lives, to go into all the world and preach the gospel. In the midst of that, you probably encountered people who are not free to worship God as they pleased. You know, religious liberty issues, freedom challenges, That's sad. As a matter of fact, I heard someone say recently that religious persecution was an all-time high of Christians.
Yeah, in India right now, it is a nightmare. We are being told things where they're surrounding churches and burning people alive in the churches. Of course, Iran, it's very difficult to be a Christian in Iran. And, you know, there's just a lot of persecution of Christians where we're upset that someone might unfollow us on social media. So I think we need to toughen up a little bit.
Yeah. Messenger X, you mentioned mm-hmm. that the app.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about that, because it's fascinating to me what's happening in social media. You know, everybody's concerned, and rightfully so, about digital devices, about how much time we commit to or in front of a screen. But at the same time, it's an amazing way to get the gospel, mm-hmm. if you will, to the uttermost parts of the world.
Right.
What is the app all about?
So it's app and it's also a website. What's been so good, Tim, is there's people that don't have a house or a car, but they have a smartphone. And so if you can get the gospel through the smartphone to these people, it's like they're carrying a church in their hands. And so we have sermons. We put our marriage counselor on there because we know that not everybody can get those kind of tools.
Sure.
We have things for financial stewardship. We have things about sons and daughters, the next generation. We have some children's programming. We have a course on marriage that we did. We do things on calling, purpose, hearing the voice of God, how to study the Bible, you know, meet with the Faith Life Logos people on that. And it's just been beautiful to give people a library that they can access. And so that's why we've done it. You know, I have tons of books, but if I was a Christian in Iran, I couldn't have a book in my house, but I could get online late at night through a shadow site.
I was going to ask you, I mean, do you have some amazing stories? What are you seeing that's happening around the world?
Yeah, so right now we are the number one resourcer of discipleship material in Farsi. So we have physically put over 3 million resources in, but now we have, of course, the downloads. And we heard from this one man, of course, he face blacked out, voice distorted, about how the police, the religious police, had been following him, so he had to stop going to the believers' meetings because he didn't want to lead them to it. He had to get rid of all of his material, and he and his wife felt like they were just living in a vacuum, just isolated, afraid, alone. And then he said one day she came home, and she was all happy, and he's like, what happened? And she said, Messenger X has everything in our language on it. And he said he stayed up from like 11 o'clock at night till 4 a.m. in the morning, just feeding their spirit. He said, I felt like I could breathe again. Like, I don't even understand that. I don't even understand. Like, in America, we have people who barely read their Bible. And yet these are people that they, like, we went to Armenia, and some people had come over from Iran. And they said, why would people give so that we could have people that will never know? Why would they do that for us? And we said, because they love Jesus. Because everything that John and I do is supported by our partners. They've made it through generosity. And these people, I said, they stood on chairs to fight for your projects. They said, I want to do Girls with Swords in Farsi. I want to do Bait of Satan in Farsi. They fought over projects because they understand that to whom much is given, much is required, and that generosity is what drives their need to see discipleship resources come to lands that they never go to.
So breathtaking, when you think about it.
It's incredible. I mean, like, I just weep every single time that we ever do any fundraising for Messenger X.
Lisa, I heard you speak, I think maybe a couple years ago. We were at another Extraordinary Women conference, and you spoke, I think, out of your devotional, Fiercely Loved.
Mm-hmm.
And you had a powerful message. And I want to break this down here for a moment. It's been a rough couple of years, real beat down on a lot of people. People are confused, they're angry, they're frustrated. The truth is, at home, in the quiet corners of a lot of hearts, people feel pretty unloved and broken. And they show up, you know, and they can get in the presence of others, and they can worship the Lord and feel really
like a reprieve for a short time.
It is. Mm-hmm. And then they go back home.
Mm-hmm.
Lisa, there's some people listening right now who are in a dark place.
Mm-hmm.
They're hearing all this and they're thinking, boy, that's amazing what God's doing. But does anybody have anything for me? Anything to say to me in this mm-hmm. moment? Mm-hmm. I don't even know if God wants to use me anymore. I don't even know where I'm at. Mm-hmm. What do you say to her?
Well, first and foremost, I get it that your feelings will lie to you. I get it that sometimes you feel like God is distant and he's not there. But I love that David had a revelation of a God that was constantly thinking about him. And it wasn't just because David was God's man. God says that he has good, treasured, precious thoughts towards you. And you think, well, yeah, I understand that for you, Lisa, and I understand that for Tim. I'm telling you right now that God has such treasured thoughts towards you that he couldn't even number them. You know, what I did with the subtitle of that book was I wanted to arrest people's minds, because it's not just like God's like, well, I like her because Jesus died for her. No, he is fiercely in love with you. And most of us feel fiercely judged, not fiercely loved. And God has wild thoughts about us. He has thoughts of our future. He says, I know the plans I have for you. Now, what we are as familiar with is the schemes that the enemy has. But God always had a plan before the enemy ever had a scheme. And I just want you to know, when I lived in the failures of my past, when I constantly replayed the failures of yesterday, the failures of, you know, years ago, all I did was live in the narrative of my bondage. But when I lifted my eyes and when I believed that Isaiah said, my thoughts are not your thoughts and my ways are not your ways. I'm like, yeah, I'm pretty sure I knew that, God. He's like, think my thoughts. And I'm like, how do I think your thoughts? He's like, my word is my thoughts. God has treasured good thoughts. You are alive in this moment on purpose, for a purpose. And God wants to anoint your life. Do not allow the enemy to knock you out by using your history. God has a destiny for you and for your family. And I want you to start praying big, scary prayers.
We've been hearing a lot about Jesus lately.
I love that.
And they're singing and praising and worshiping him. And they're wanting to believe that God really loves them. That he fiercely loves them.
Mm-hmm.
You know that? You think it's the most important relationship in the world. We believe that.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a message behind that, because mm-hmm. you're saying you need to be wholly devoted to him.
Yeah. I remember, Tim, you know, you talk about people not feeling like they might be a Christian, but they're not living any kind of life of victory. You talked about that. And you know what? I was there. And I got to the place where I was tired of pretending that I was free when I was bound. I was tired of pretending that I was strong when I was weak. Tim, a lot of people are just, they're tired. And Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, who are just tired. They're burnt out on religion. They're burnt out on the media. They're burnt out on comparison. They're burnt out on everything. And Jesus said, come, I'll give you rest. Come if you're hungry. Come if you're thirsty. Whatever you don't have, that's okay. I've got it all. And I just think too many people, they have this mindset, and I want to be careful with this, and I maybe you can help me with it, but you know, again, going back to the fact that we both have been married for almost 40 years, and you probably got saved before me, but I remember it was very much the thing to pray, God, use me. And so I was like, God, use me to do this, use me to do this. And one day he said to me, who you are to me is more important than what you can do for me. He said, you are first and foremost my daughter.
I have a tweet right here that you posted not long ago. It said, your life will radically change when you stop making prayer a backup plan.
Yes.
I like that.
Yes.
In other words, yeah. This is the real deal stuff.
Yeah. We're in an Ephesians 6 moment, you know, where God is strong and he wants you strong. I just love the Message paraphrase of that. And he says, so take all of the spiritual weapons. And then he said, pray hard, pray strong, pray for your brothers, pray for your sisters. He said, this is not an athletic contest that we walk away from, but this is for keeps. And I think too many people don't understand that we have this incredible privilege to come into the presence of God, make our petitions known, read his word, and God will say, you know, you don't even have to figure this out. You know, when we pray, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, that is an invitation for heaven to invade our earth every single day. Now, forgive me my sins, because, I mean, I'd love to say I never sin, but forgive me. And then as I forgive, oops, I don't like that part, you know. But God says, you got to sow some mercy, Lisa. You know, sow mercy. The longer I live, the longer I serve God, the more I know I need mercy, the more I'm willing to give it.
How about it?
Yeah.
You know, in sports, I know with my son, Zach, we used to get in the dugout. When the game started happening, when some things started cooking, they'd start going, uh-oh, and everybody start chirping like that. And in my mind, I'm thinking, like, when you're going out here in just a little bit, it's like an uh-oh.
Yeah.
Something's happening.
Something shifted.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's shifting.
People are, they're tired and they're hungry. But they're not angry. They're ready. They're hopeful.
What a message. My guest again has been Lisa Bevere. We hope to have her back again in the coming days. Hey, head over to messengerx.com. Download the app on your phone. Hey, to find those resources that Lisa mentioned. You'll be blessed by all the helpful content and courses they've created to enrich your relationship with God and the people in your life. To pick up a copy of Lisa's latest book, The Fight for Female, Reclaiming Our Divine Identity, go to lisabevere.com or find a copy online anywhere where books are sold. As always, my son and co-host Dr. Zach Clinton and I, we appreciate you joining us right here on Life, Love, Faith, and Family. See you next time.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
I'm Dr. Tim Clinton with the American Association of Christian Counselors with your Mental Health Minute. Everyone experiences trouble in life. We all face seasons of sorrow, grief, relational pain, and more. In fact, studies show now that 20 to 25% of people experience a diagnosable mental disorder in their lifetime. Sadly, the church has too often remained silent about mental illness. The silence creates stigma and shame, and it adds to the suffering. But there's good news. Mental health professionals now offer more effective care than they ever have before. And when Christian counselors integrate emotional, relational, and mental health anchored in God's word and spiritual wisdom, people are finding real help, hope, and healing. You know, we're all broken in some way. Let's care for one another in the most loving, effective ways possible, because the Lord, He's in the midst of it. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted. This has been your Mental Health Minute. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton, president of the American Association of Christian Counselors and co-host of Life, Love, Faith, and Family. To learn more, go to aacc.net.
Asking for help is hard. Finding help shouldn't be. At Christian Care Connect, our mission is to connect those seeking help with a provider who offers the faith-based care they need. At CCC, we offer free mental health assessments for the user to help gauge their psychological and emotional well-being, as well as free self-help blog resources to help educate readers on topics such as depression, anxiety, and more. Christian Care Connect bridges the gap between those seeking help and the caregivers offering it, fostering connections rooted in clinical excellence. If you're looking for help, it's closer than you think. And if you're a provider who's ready to offer help, this site is for you too. Visit ChristianCareConnect.com to find the help you need or get listed as a provider. That's ChristianCareConnect.com.
Do people ever come to you asking for help? Maybe hope? How about prayer? Do you ever wish you understood the issues better that people are wrestling with? Or how about how to use the Bible more effectively in caring for people? If so, I'd love to get a copy of our Care and Counsel Bible in your hands, featuring 116 topics written by some of the world's best mental health and ministry experts. I think you'll love it. Topics like discouragement, abuse, depression, divorce, anxiety, abortion, and more. So you can learn more about these issues and how to use the Bible more effectively, how to share passages of Scripture with others, maybe even yourself, as you're sitting down over a cup of coffee. You know what I love most about this Bible is that it's so easy to use. You can find right up front an index with subjects, key passages of Scripture, personality profiles, and so much more to go to, so you can use the Bible more effectively in caring for other people. The Caring Council Bible right now is retailing for $85. We're going to make it available to you for just $49.99 plus shipping. I think you're going to love it. Hey, for more information about how you can get this Bible right now, go to caringcouncil.com. That's caringcouncil.com. This is Dr. Tim Clinton, President of the American Association of Christian Counselors, with your Mental Health Minute. Time magazine reported that families who regularly share meals together have kids who are less likely to smoke, drink, use drugs, get depressed, develop eating disorders, or even consider suicide. And here's the kicker. They're also more likely to do better in school, delay sexual activity, eat their vegetables, and hey, they might even know which fork to use. Now, this might surprise you, but the age group that benefits most? Teens. One national study found that those teens who ate with their families three times a week or less wished they had done so more often. That's because in the end, it's not about food, it's about time. It's about you, mom and dad, being present, sharing, shaping hearts. How often should you eat together? As much as possible. Why? Because the family that eats together stays together. This has been your Mental Health Minute. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton, president of the American Association of Christian Counselors and host of Life, Love, Faith, and Family. To learn more, go to AACC.net.